Welcome, greetings, hello. It is Art at the End of the World, the podcast that features artists, entertainers, and cultural leaders speaking on what it is to make art here at the end. And this is our first Thursday edition, aka bonus round, as we like to call it. My name is Mark Wigmore, and thank you for joining me. Maybe this is your first time catching the show. Maybe you checked out the podcast earlier this week with my guest, Britta Johnson, the musical theater maven prodigy who's in the States right now working out the U.S. premiere of her six-time Dora Award-winning production of Life After. And we're going to hear from Britta in a moment. But first, a quick reminder that Art at the End of the World is sponsored by Kerner Hall at the Royal Conservatory of Music, Salter Street Brewery in Toronto's East End, Superframe Framing Services, and Red Eye Media. If you missed the show on Monday, just a little more about Britta. I would recommend that you do download it or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Art at the End of the World. But as I mentioned off the top, she is something of a theater prodigy. She grew up in Stratford, Ontario, which is home of the famous Stratford Festival. And her parents were both into theater. They were pit musicians. They were in the business. So the whole scene really did work its way into her DNA. She's a composer, she's a lyricist, a director, a performer. Her show Life After took home 6 Dora Awards last year, which are the Canadian equivalent to Tonys. And that's because there was a production that was put together with Canadian Stage and the Musical Theatre Stage Company. I felt it was one of the best shows of the year, which was 2017, and she's had another show out, Dr. Silver, since then, which a lot of people went and checked out because of the success of Life After. And I have to be honest, I do have mixed feelings about musical theater. It's not my favorite genre within the arts. I do feel sometimes it can be hard to access, hard to sort of shift your brain into the musical theater mode. But Britta is such a talented storyteller and composer and lyricist, and she really makes her projects flow in a certain way. And I have nothing but good things to say about her work. So here's the bonus round with Britta Johnson, and because she's enjoyed so much success and critical acclaim within musical theater, I wanted to know what the most inspirational or influential musical theater productions were for her. So here we go, bonus round with Britta Johnson. All right, Britta Johnson is here on the podcast, and we're going to go through, you know, you've become very well known in this country, in this city, for what you've done with Life After, and it really is an incredible musical. And so I know you have a sort of a specific relationship with musical theater. It's not like it's run your entire life, but it has been a big part of it. And obviously you have to dip into the resources that are around you to maybe glean ideas and what have you, or maybe just for the pure enjoyment. So I'd love to hear 5 musicals that you think are either an influence or that you just love.
That I love. Okay, so...
Number 5.
Oh, I have to put them in order?
No, you don't really.
I didn't prepare enough for this.
Okay.
I thought I was really just going to shoot the shit here.
Didn't I give you the notes?
You did, but I was like, I'll be able to think of that. So I'm just going to try my best, but, you know, I'll listen to this when it comes down. I'll be like, I don't mean that. Okay, 5.
He kept a shop in London town of fancy clients and good renown. And what if none of their souls were saved? They went to their maker impeccably shaved. By Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd, great production. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a production of that in New York when I was like 14.
What'd you think of the Johnny Depp movie?
Ugh.
Yeah, right? Ugh. You better be careful if they ever option Life After for a movie or something, because you're not going to be happy with the result.
Well, I will take control. I will put those studio executives in their place, and Johnny Depp will not be in it.
Sweeney Todd, that's a Sondheim, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get ready for some Sondheim.
All right.
Buddy.
Sweeney Todd, great, and very kind of gross.
Disgusting,
yeah.
But so smart. It's like an opera. It's epic, and the score is just crazy. It's scary and funny and human and amazing. I love it.
All right, number 4.
four. Okay, this is going to be a weird one, and I don't even know if I stand behind it because I do think it's offensive. It's an offensive show. It has not aged well, but The Music Man has been a big deal for me.
The Music Man.
Music Man.
Never mind pumping any water till your parents are caught with a cistern empty on a Saturday night, and that's trouble. Yes, you got lots and lots of trouble. I'm thinking of the kids in the Knickerbocker, shirt-tailed young ones, peeking in the pool hall window after school. You got trouble. Folks right here in River City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Now I know all you folks are the right kind of parents.
Okay, tell me about the Music Man.
I find it, when I was little, I used to be able to do that opening sequence with the salesman on the train from like start to finish.
Right.
I knew every word of it.
Right.
I think it's amazing writing. Like the way that Harold Hill is written, it's so clever, and I found it so funny when I was little, the pick a little ladies. Like, yeah, it's sexist. But if we're talking about musical theater, then that's just going to be a fact. So.
Yeah.
But I love the musical.
It is a fact of musical theater.
It is.
It?
We got a lot. We have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, it's such a difficult relationship, isn't it? Because there's so much to love that's out there. But We're in this weird moment right now where it feels like you have to drop entire bodies of work overnight.
I know. It's complicated.
It's
like
strange.
Carousel has one of the most beautiful scores I've ever heard. And wow.
Right.
That we can't do that show anymore. We just can't do it anymore.
All right. Number three.
Oh, God.
What is this going to get worse as we get closer to
number one? No. Let me see.
It doesn't have to be number three. It could just be another
one.
Okay, listen.
You know what
brain.
I loved? You know what I'm obsessed with? London Road. When they did London Road at Cannes Stage, it blew my mind.
Begonias and petunias and impatience and things.
Marigolds, petunias.
Petunias.
We got busy Lizzies and immobilias.
And immobilias.
Blew my mind.
Why?
It's a verbatim musical set on this road in London. It's called London Road. You might have noticed.
Right.
After a series of murders have taken place on that street, and it's interviews with the
feeling
real.
Close to Sweeney Todd in some ways.
I love death and darkness. But
tis my muse.
Tis my muse. Yes, darkness inspired me. No, but it's real. It's real conversations. It's real people you meet. There's so many characters, and the cast was like Olympic in this production, and people are so funny and strange, especially around things as terrifying as murder. And then the composition is incredible because it's verbatim. So the music kind of weaves in all kinds of unexpected directions, but then still manages to land sounding like a song that's existed forever, which is like crazy.
Sounds fascinating.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
I think there's a movie. I haven't seen it, so I can't advocate for it.
All right.
But you can check it out if you
want. Well, it doesn't sound like any movie, musical movie is going to be your cup of tea.
Well, it's not my favorite genre.
Right.
No.
All right. What's next?
Are we at two now?
Yep.
No squeeze.
Into the Woods.
Into the Woods.
Yeah.
Now, you've mentioned this quite a bit over,
I have.
Over the years.
It's a huge deal for me.
Yeah.
And that might be number one, but I don't know.
You saw it a lot.
I did.
Growing up in Stratford, right?
That production, they did Into the Woods when I was 13. It was the first show at Stratford that my dad didn't play. He had died that March, and then it opened, in April, May. And it's about, have you seen Into the Woods?
No.
Oof.
I feel like I've seen so much musical. I've seen so much theater, and at the same time, it just seems endless. I can't catch up.
No, it's impossible.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. The fact that I have no contemporary musicals on here is really startling.
Right.
It's a gorgeous. It says the most profound things in the most simple way about community and loss, and it's funny and strange, and it only sounds like itself. And I musicals had always been a part of my life growing up, but it wasn't a thing. I wasn't like, I love musicals. And then I remember I saw that, and it opened up something for me, something big.
I just went and saw the production of Middletown at Streetcar Crow's Nest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it used that small town backdrop.
Yeah. I mean, this uses fairy tale characters,
right,
actually,
right.
Which it's nothing at all like what you think it's going to be.
Right.
I think it's amazing. And it makes the profundity that it spins in the simplest way. It really.
That's the best.
Yeah. I mean, that's what musicals do the best.
That is what
it's all about.
Right.
So that one
right.
is really the it changed my world. And I actually haven't even really seen it since. But that summer I went 14 times and I would cry and think about my mom in the pit without my dad. And it was just a big deal for me.
That begs a question. You must have those moments when you're sitting there in the audience watching a piece of theater where I have these gaps pretty much in every production I watch, because it without fail, if it's good, it's going to spur me on to think about my life and my relationships and my, you know, my family or whatever it might be. And without fail, I'm going to have like a 5-minute chunk that just gets missed.
I know.
In the theater, because I'm there. I'm busy.
You're busy. Yeah. No, that's very real. But then if you go back 13 more times, then that'll happen at different moments. So you'll eventually get the whole thing, which is why I had to go back. Right. Yeah.
That is the Britta Johnson plan of taking in a piece of musical theater. I mean, of course,
that was when I could go in for free. So I couldn't do that now.
Right.
Not made of money.
Number one.
West Side Story.
West Side Story. Great.
I like to be in America. Okay, by me in America. Everything free in America.
For a small fee in America.
I mean, that score, come on.
Yeah.
It's just out of control.
Da, 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 da.
And it only sounds
tonight,
like it's
tonight. Tonight.
The way it uses that tritone, man. All I can say. Yeah. It's just amazing.
And also sort of holds up in its own weird way of, you know, speaking to some of the big cultural issues that we're still dealing with today. So.
And I think it manages to hold up so well because it really is so singular in it. It doesn't feel like it's even part of our world. It's like the world of West Side Story is its own world.
Right.
So it can kind of just live, and we can keep doing it, and it can live, and it doesn't claim to be the way that gangs fight now, or it doesn't claim to
frolicking about with knives.
They've all had at least 11 years of ballet training.
Sure.
But it isn't. It's got its own thing. It's got its own motor, you know, and it only sounds like itself, and that's an amazing thing.
So there you go. Britta Johnson, the bonus round, and some great musical theater picks there, and maybe put those on your list. Britta's been in New York City workshopping the new production of Life After. It gets its U.S. premiere very soon. Previews begin March 22nd at the beautiful Old Globe Theater in San Diego, California. Opening night, March 29th, and it runs through April 28th. TheOldGlobe.org for info. So that's the bonus round. If you want to support this podcast, you can. We have some great sponsors on board, but you can get involved at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/art at the end of the world. Head to the page, have a look, choose a tier, support the podcast so that I can keep doing it. Thank you for listening. We're back on Monday with the next episode of Art at the End of the World.
Just